Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Prepare for the big baby that is 2024. It's time for Must Have Seen TV, the podcast dedicated to the sitcoms of the 20th century. From I Love Lucy to News Radio, I am your host, Ms. Barbara Hardley. And by my side is the young baby to my old woman in a black gown with a veil, just with almost two feet in the grave, with a 2023 sash over my boob, Ethan Kay.
Hello, Barb. That was very evocative.
Oh, I know. And I just went all in.
Let's talk about 2023 and 2024 using funerary art as a touch point.
Well, isn't that, you know, it's like the new baby and like an old person, and the old person's getting like shoved in a grave usually or something.
I've never seen it shoved in a grave. I always just
maybe
see
not
it
shoved in a grave.
It's the old man with he's wearing some robe or something and a big beard because he's grown for 12
months. Oh, that. Yeah. He's 12 months.
I don't know. I haven't really seen someone standing in a grave
before. Yeah, I was describing like Miss Havisham or some shit. But yeah, it is the end of the year. And I have decided to go all out. I will do my standing thing for people that are watching via YouTube.
There she is. I am Miss America.
Oh, I need like a horizontal. I'll just go.
The camera is moving for you folks at home.
Because, oh my God, now my chair is just in the way.
Barb is wearing a purple gown.
It is not a gown, baby.
Oh, it is.
I'm showing off leg for the first time in a long time.
It is a cocktail dress.
And some heels, baby.
And some heels.
Whatever. I'll be posting pictures. I can't really seem to get a good angle.
Be sure to follow Barb on Instagram and Twitter. And
Twitter.
Facebook. Not Twitter anymore.
Just Instagram and YouTube for Barb Hardley content.
All the best Barb Hardley content on the internet comes directly from Barb Hardley herself. Accept no imitations.
Just watch me style my hair on air, whatever.
It's a very big wig, and you're very sparkly. There's a lot of sparkles today.
This is the New Year's look. I'm a New Year's ball. that's what they're called, right? A big old New Year's ball. But anyway, it has been a long time. So we meant to do another Christmas episode, but yeah. December's insane.
Yeah, I really do wish that we could get on a more reliable schedule, but the problem is it is just the two of us doing this. We don't have a producer, we don't have an editor, and things get extremely busy sometimes, and specifically in December, I have to apologize. All it takes is for people at my advertising agency to go out on vacation or go out to Chile for 2 weeks to work on a commercial shoot, and suddenly I'm in charge of everything and responsible for everything, and here I am working until 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. And my soul has left my body through my mouth and nose. So
that sounds like fun to me.
Well, it can be fun if you dissociate, but I'm not really good at dissociating. Not as well
as some. I like the being in charge part. That's where I'm wishing.
It's a lot of people asking you, where are specific things? What are you doing with this thing? Who's working on this? And you're just kind of like, I need answers. And my God, it is so hard to provide all of those answers on cue. My job is tough, but you know what? There are people out there who have much harder jobs than I do, and I should not complain. Good on you for doing the work that you do, because every job has something in it that is difficult, and good on you for overcoming it.
Yes.
We're working through it.
If you work at concession stands at movie theaters, cleaning the popcorn popper.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare. Or the bins that hold the popcorn. Horrible.
It was the Conan O'Brien joke when one of his first shows was he had some model being interviewed and she said, oh, modeling is such hard work. And he goes, no, it's not. Like, to me, hard work is some guy turning a giant crank in a basement or something. It's true.
I spent most of December. Well, I mean, I think right after my Christmas party, I finished my holiday special. Released it mid-December. So please, everyone, if you are still in the mood, I don't know, go to Barb Hardley's YouTube, look for Christmas and the Hard Luck Lady, and please watch my Christmas special, which I think is the best thing that I have ever created, probably.
You look so happy in that, too. Oh, my cat just jumped up.
I can't. Yeah, I mean, it's an ode to mental health and Christmas. So, you know.
Which is like that Bob Newhart episode we just watched.
Exactly.
An ode to mental health and Christmas. So, Two things that don't really go well together.
Well, one affects the other.
Yeah. Seasonal depression, meet regular depression.
Uh-huh. It's all year round, baby. But no, that was very fulfilling, even though it was like a lot of self-imposed pressure to get it done.
You looked very happy.
But yeah, and then it was good to get it done. My mother did watch it.
Ooh.
And we had a very earnest, honest conversation, a good one, about me being, gay and a drag queen, which is the most we've ever talked about that.
Was this a moment of growth?
Yes.
Ooh.
So we'll see how long it lasts or whatever, but it was... I mean, it was a very cathartic moment. This is why I'm on mental health leave, is to get this stuff straightened out.
Good on you, mate.
I love talking about mental health leave while I'm dressed like a 40-year-old member of Jim and the Holograms. This is Barb Hardley entering the 80s.
Completely different genre of sitcom.
Yeah, mostly bad, honestly.
Yeah, there were some highlights, but you know,
a lot too much of it is families, is cute kids and episode of the week, and I hate it. No, thank you. Well, Trusty, what else happened? I mean, Christmas happened. I got a green screen for Christmas, which is currently folded down behind me because it's hard setting things up when you're in a corset. I lost a nail in the process and I was like, no more.
The horror.
Oh God.
Nah. Christmas for me was nice. Saw family, had a really great time. Did a lot of, cooking and helping the family with dinners and lunches. This was Megan's family. I'm going to see my family next weekend. My cousin who lives in California is flying in to visit for a couple days in Philadelphia. So Megan and I are driving down to Philadelphia, spending some time with them, and then coming back up to where my parents live, and we're going to be doing Hanukkah Christmas with my sister and my parents. That's going to be nice.
A holiday smorgasbord.
And, you know, as... the stuff that I got for gifts was all stuff that I wanted. It was a lot of books that I really wanted, and I don't have it with me, but I do want to shout out to Michael Kupperman, one of my favorite artists. My father-in-law bought me a print advertising Long John Silver's Pirate Sex Blimp, which is from an old comic called Snake and Bacon that I loved in college.
Aww.
And it is talking about the dangers of sex blimps, themed sex blimps, and how you might fall off the gangplank as you're walking out of a window to get to the sex blimp. Anyway, let's get on to the show.
Yeah, so this is kind of, you know, we did kind of a year ender last year, which we did it live on New Year's Eve. This year, we're just going to record it, release it, but we're going to, you know, go over some things from the year, tie up some loose ends, share hopes for the new year, and probably, I'll drag Family Affair as much as I can. I did get in. I did get in a Family Affair dig during my Christmas special. So,
you sent me a photo of the doll that What's Her Name carries.
Yeah.
That they made a doll that What's Her Name carries in the Family Affair show. It was that popular that they had spinoff merch because people wanted that doll.
For this show that, as far as I can tell, has no funny episodes. Has never told a joke.
It is just
apparently it was a drama.
Show.
Apparently it was a half hour drama for children. Sounds
I'm trying to
fun.
Think, what other half hour dramas for children were this? Power Rangers?
Well, X-Men.
X-Men. Yeah.
Well, I would say like how long was Life Goes On an hour long?
Life Goes On, I think, was an hour long.
Yeah, so
I'm thinking of just like a half hour, like for kids, because I thought Life Goes On was more for adults.
I think that was like family kids. Viewing, right?
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Didn't someone get AIDS on that show? Not that that is that's for families too, but it's a heavy topic for families.
I read somewhere that someone's school. This was on Tumblr. Someone posted that like their school did Rent. Their high school did Rent, but they couldn't talk about AIDS. So the characters had diabetes.
Everybody's got beets. Oh, jeez. We have fun.
Fuck censorship.
So, yeah, I wanted to start off with some listener mail that we got. Because I checked our Gmail for the first time in a month. So this is only 10 days old. So, you know, that's fine. But lovely. Laura Cannon. Oh, God, should I say? Well, you know what? I already said the whole name, and I don't edit anything. So, you know what? We're having fun.
don't say where she's from or anything.
No, okay. But, yeah. Address. Dear Brett and Ethan, first of all, starting by reading me a little. How could you think Frank DeCaro is the only one who would decipher your drag queen name? If this vanilla, cis, hetero, 60-year-old ally fan got it right away, but a lot of other people did, too. And I will interject to say, I guess I could say, I don't know if any Gen Xers, probably millennials.
Nah,
it's dwindling down. And then all the 20-year-old twinks who watch Drag Race. Absolutely not. But RuPaul would get it, which is why I would do well.
That'd be good. Yeah, that's a good point.
And then she continues, may I add to your Lorenzo Music bio? He was also the voice of Carlton the Doorman on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, which actually Rhoda, it was Carlton the Doorman, was Rhoda. It's Rhoda's Doorman. So Lorenzo Music created Bob Newhart Show, was the voice of Garfield and Peter Venkman.
And Peter Venkman from Real Ghostbusters.
And also Carlton the Doorman on Rhoda, which is very good. Laura then thanked me for my Matthew Perry tribute, which she said, I could time travel back to hug young Brett, and at the risk of cliche, assure you that it does get better. I mean, it does get better. Look at me now. Woo, yeah.
I can say that things weren't working for you, so you changed things.
Yeah. I mean, hey, I mental health leave, baby. Got more coming. The next thing she said was, you mentioned your mental health leave and I wish you quick healing. Yeah, I got on another, yet another medication as well. So a whole bunch of supplements. So
Merry Christmas.
You know, we're having fun. We're having
Santa put some
fun.
Extra in your stockings. Supplements.
So like the new medication has made it to where I do not know. I am no longer hitting the bottom.
Okay.
That I was hitting. So now I'm trying to see if I can hit the tops. Oh, gay reference. I don't know. Well, I will say I did watch the trailer for the newest trailer for Echo, the new Disney Plus series.
Oh yeah,
that debuts in like a week and a half that everyone's going to forget about. But I did spy Daredevil in it, doing like a flying kick at Echo, and ooh. I screamed. I screamed in happiness. So I think I'm clawing my way out.
Okay, completely unrelated. Was it yellow costume or was it red costume?
Well, it was in silhouette, so it looked more all red.
Okay.
So, but oh God, love. And then love the addition of Must See Now TV, which yeah, hopefully we can do more of that in the next year and spin those off into the standalone videos that go on the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
So those are fun.
We should record them after we record the full episode.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, while we still have it fresh in our minds.
Yeah. And then lastly, Must Have Seen TV is one of the podcasts I look forward to most. Aww. I hope 2024 is a wonderful for you both. Barb, Seb, Megan, and all your families, born and chosen. We'll be watching for Barb's Christmas special, New Year's show, and book update in the new year. Love from Laura. Thank you so much. The nicest email I think we have ever gotten.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for that, Laura.
Yeah, we really appreciate that. And, you know, it's good to know that people are out there listening, and it isn't just us performing for cats.
Yeah, for people who are not watching on video, my cat is both purring into the microphone and whipping her tail around my face.
Oh,
I should have closed the door.
No, I wish mine were in here. I mean, I feel bad because like for me, like drag days are days.
Yeah.
Like, it is a full day commitment. It's like usually 12 hours from when I start the process of getting into drag to when I finally am getting out of drag after recording various things. And so I just feel like bad for neglecting my cats that much, but they can't be in here. For this, no. There's too much stuff for them to mess up. I'm too gorgeous.
Too gorgeous.
But that makes me sad. Speaking of the YouTube channel, YouTube mailed me some year-end wrap-up stats.
Ooh.
So I can read those. We did get another comment on the Bob Newhart Christmas episode where C says, Ethan singing the Nanoland meme song at the beginning. Crying, laughing emoji. What is that? What did you slip past me? How dare you? Must keep me informed.
So Nanoland is a show from Canada. It's a children's program with puppets. I discovered it years ago. It's still on the air, I believe, because they're still doing interviews about it. Where it's a grandmother and a granddaughter, and they're both puppets,
and the daughter talk like this, talking things like this, and the grandmother talks like this,
and it's a very surreal show, but it's called Nanoland, and check it out. It has its own cult following because it is so weird.
Okay.
And it's become a meme on TikTok because there's a video where the grandmother is playing a song and the granddaughter walks in dressed as a little princess. And it was, who's that wonderful girl? Could she be any cuter? Who's that wonderful girl? Oh, look, here comes a suitor.
Oh, so it's about me.
It's about you. You could be Nanoland's suitor.
Mm.
This adorable little, looks like a pea with black eye, like a green pea with black eyes. It's really a weird puppet. But I thank you, C, for recognizing that. It's something that we've been kind of throwing around our house here as little jokes. Especially when the cats walk in into a room.
there you go.
That wonderful girl.
So, hashtag my year on YouTube 2023, which yes. I wonder. So we did get 165 new subscribers.
Oh,
which does, I mean, that's a big number for me as far.
Yeah.
And because we had 29 uploads, I think like 20 episodes and then 9, you know, must have now TVs and miscellaneous stuff. So that's good. 27,900 views. Now, I will couch that in. I have no idea how many thousands are the George and Leo episodes that are also a part of the channel. But
yeah, you know, they're still very popular. But yeah. I will have to say that 29 uploads means that we got an average of 2 episodes per month.
Yeah.
And that is, I wish it was a little bit more consistent, but that's, we are but humble human beings.
We're a one man, one drag queen operation. So it's
sometimes in drag, sometimes not in drag.
It's a production, baby. Oh God. Yes. I mean, this is a production. I like how it's like, oh, you want a podcast? I'm like, yes, give me 4 hours to do all of this. We got 332 likes. Good. 22 comments. I'm going to say we can jack up that number. Talk to us. Compliment us.
Some of those comments are probably us replying to people on the videos.
Mm-hmm. And then 95 shares, which I'm on, like, that impresses me. Ooh. I mean, 95, I have no idea. I'm not notified when anything is shared. So I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Although maybe those are all us. Who knows?
Thank you, everybody, for sharing. Although those might be us sharing the videos too.
But you know, whatever.
Yeah.
God bless us, everyone.
Except for Family Affair.
Yes. So now let's look back at the year of Must Have Seen TV and talk about, we have 3 categories. Our favorite episode that we talked about, the worst episode we talked about, and best performance. And kick it off with our favorite episode of the year. You go first.
Your favorite episode.
I singled out 2. So the first one, obviously, is the Bob Newhart Show, I'm Dreaming of a Slight Christmas, which is maybe recency bias, but the episode itself, very special to me. But then also the fact that we got to do it together.
Yeah.
I was gorgeous. I was wearing a lovely gown that I have since completely blown the back out of. That zipper did not survive another wear, but no, and it was really nice to talk about that episode and get into, like, you know, personal stuff, holiday stuff.
And then when it was done, we got together and we played X-Men on the arcade cabinet that you have in the back. Didn't finish it. We had a couple people join us. And but then we had to break the game and do something else. But I love playing the X-Men game.
Just because previous podcast guest Jeremy Bent showed up and he lives in LA and had come here from the Newark airport, like whatever, you know, I had to like leave the game and go say hi. Whatever. It's all good. What is one of your favorites or your favorite?
I will say that mine, I have them written down. My favorite episode that we did, and this was really because of the research that both of us ended up doing, was Alfred Hitchcock Hour.
Oh, yeah.
And Unlocked Window.
Very big on the YouTube as well. People love that episode.
There's good reason for it. This was, I think, the one where, aside from cursory looks at Wikipedia and IMDb and looking up additional sites, this was something where we really, both of us really looked into T.C. Jones, the female impersonator character, as they called them. We really looked into his life, and that kind of opened the door for what was drag in the 1960s.
Oh, yeah.
What was his life like? What were his relationships like?
The whole thing about like his wife, like owning a flower shop in the gayest neighborhood of San Francisco. And then her also being like a golf champion.
Was she a champion fencer?
Yeah. Yeah. It was something that was just like, y'all are giving me big lavender marriage energy is what.
But then like also looking into like his military service and to like the troops that he was a part of. In Florida and in New York, and kind of like looking at all that and just kind of building out this sketch of a person, just resurrecting him for just a little while on our podcast. And every time if someone listens to it,
yeah,
they can resurrect T.C. Jones again and just kind of pay a little bit of tribute to his memory. I like that. And the episode itself, it's fine. Like,
I liked it.
I liked what we did with it rather than I think I liked the episode.
Oh, it spooked me. A man in a dress. Oh my God.
Oh my gosh.
Well, not even really a dress. I mean, it was like a homely nurse outfit, which I wouldn't be caught dead.
Wasn't fooling anybody.
Not like me. With my mustache. I also really love the Dobie Gillis episode that we did.
I thought that was a good episode of Dobie Gillis.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and it was the instance of, like, I think some, like, we had a listener suggest it, and, like, I was like, yeah, Dobie Gillis is good, we'll do that. And I think both of us going in with, like, no expectation, because, like, yeah, sure, and then being like, oh, we're met with an existential question that is being seriously pondered in a very meticulously directed episode of television from 60 years ago.
It was too good.
Yeah.
I will say that, like, it had short film energy and less sitcom episode energy. It was smart, and I like smart. Who doesn't like smart?
I will say, like, so, you know, the holiday season I rewatch, you know, Christmas episodes, and I rewatch like three of Dobie Gillis's, and if I was, you know, still a writing man at the moment, and if don't need to go into that, but the meds are working, baby. But I would pitch, like, I actually do think that Gen Z would like Dobie Gillis after watching all those episodes, because it has, I think the biggest complaint that I think kids or younger people or even just like later generations can have about TV from the 50s and 60s is it's slow. The pace is slow. Like, you know, the jokes aren't all. Whereas Dobie Gillis, like watching it, it has a two camera narrator breaking the fourth wall. So very Arrested Development, very Office. And it moves. Like, it doesn't have the same slower pace that like a multicam has, because they can't cut back and forth as quickly. Like, it's edited like a short film. And I also think that, like, it feels edgy, because what they were doing at the time was edgy, because teenagers like this just weren't seen on television, and they're using the modern slang. They are like, and they're just, it still feels very relatable. And I do think that there's something there.
I'm comparing it to The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet that we did.
Mm-hmm.
And The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet was, oh my God, that it's the longest running sitcom in history, next to The Simpsons, if you count that as a sitcom. And just the differences between the two, and not just I'd say not just the hip and unhip, which is the easy out, just the way that you look at the two. One is crisp, one is smart, one is it looks after its characters and really develops them, and the other is very bland. It is very formulaic. It feels like a radio show set to film. And that's Ozzie and Harriet. I know Ozzie and Harriet has its fans. I actually kind of enjoyed the episode that we watched.
Oh yeah, it's a fun show.
Yeah, but compared to Dobie Gillis, it is like Black Hole versus Star Wars.
Which is it still streaming on Disney Plus? I made it 2/3 of the way through The Black Hole.
I saw it when I was a kid, and I just remember the ending, and I remember nothing really happening during the whole film.
Yeah.
So
there's a red trash can robot.
Yeah, that gets dinged up, and then there's like other robots that it's. I remember being a lot of talking.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen it in many, many, many years. That's all.
Not as good as Quark.
Quark was great.
Which we also watched this year.
That's another thing is that, like, in doing this, it's easy to say, oh, we'll do I Love Lucy. Oh, we'll do, you know, Who's the Boss? Oh, we'll do, you know, Head of the Class. The ones that everyone remembers. And then just going off on a little tangent and seeing, oh, there was this show called Quark that lasted 8 episodes that was totally based on Star Wars.
Yeah.
And weird and you know, has Richard Benjamin, and being able to find, like, uncover those episodes like archaeologists.
That's what I love.
I love doing that.
I would do stupid shit like that every episode. I don't know who else would. I do still think that we can talk about this under hopes for 2024, but if we ever had a reason to do exclusive Patreon content, I do think doing like every episode of Bob or every episode of I'm Dickens, He's Fenster would be fun.
I would love to do I'm Dickens, He's Fenster. We had such a great time with I'm Dickens, He's Fenster. We did that last year, though. That was last year.
Oh, that might have been like 2 years ago. It was a while ago. Might have been pre-pandemic, even. I just saw Marty Ingalls on something recently. It might have been like Laugh-In or something. Oh, also, I do think that Laugh-In invented TikTok.
Laugh-In invented TikTok?
When was the last time you watched a Laugh-In episode?
I have never seen a Laugh-In episode.
Oh, boy. No, I mean, I'll watch it. I watched the Christmas episode this year, and there are probably, in an hour-long episode, there are probably 75 sketches. Like, and it is just chucking one-liners, ad-libs, like weird slogans that meant something back then, maybe. It's wild. We should do a Laugh-In episode at some point.
Okay, we'll pretend it's a sitcom.
Yeah, well, we can do whatever. As long as it was before 2000. Now, I think we might both have the same answer for this one. The worst classic TV episode of 2023.
Should we say it at the same time?
One, two, three. Life with Luigi.
Life with Luigi was...
Our Vietnam.
It was a black mark on our report card. It was something we had to do. And I'm like archaeology, I'm glad we uncovered it.
Oh yeah.
But also it made me feel really bad watching it, doing the podcast, talking about it, resurrecting it, bringing it back to public consciousness.
Yeah, it was a weird show. Very weird show. But it was an instance of that like radio to TV transition that so many shows made. And some of them, like I Love Lucy, survived.
Right.
Some of them, like Life with Luigi, people were like, ugh. And as we found out, like people were very angry about, is he Irish? About
yeah, he was Irish.
Man, an Irish man playing an Italian American or an Italian who moved to America.
Yeah.
People were angry about that in the 1950s. So take your woke cancel culture complaint nonsense and put it on a boat, send it out to sea and just blow it up.
Because it was received the same way then as that would be received now.
Yeah. So, and then they did recast him with an Italian actor.
And it didn't do so well.
It was a bad everything.
So I'm glad that we both agreed on that. I'm glad that we watched it just to be like, you know, the same way that you have to kind of watch something or understand something bad to know that it's bad.
Yeah.
You have to like kind of like dip your toe and be like, oh no, this is hot soup. Don't like this.
Man, maybe I should have like put in a stipulation of like, okay, besides that one, Webster was weird. The Webster episode was uncomfortable. Yeah. Because it was like adults just being absolutely convinced that these two like 11-year-olds were definitely going to have sex at a sleepover.
The entire episode is built
around that.
Yeah, I didn't like it because I just don't like Webster.
Well, also that.
I think that George Papadopoulos and Ma'am are not compelling leads, despite what they told us in their sitcom that they wrote and produced.
I think
Life with Luigi is I don't know. I'm trying to think of anyone that really kind of let me down.
We watched a weird episode of Roseanne. We could have gotten a better one. It was like, It was very disjointed because it was like opens with a good Halloween gag and then it goes into the ventriloquist thing. There's a lot. Roseanne is structurally a very bizarre show.
I think that it was hard to follow. Mm-hmm. I didn't much care for it. I'm looking back and seeing all the episodes that we did from this year. I thought the Oh Madeline episode could have been better. I thought it was pretty good.
Oh yeah. For a show that didn't last long.
We did a lot of really good ones. I gotta say, like Quark was good. Night Court was good. Just Shoot Me was good. Phil Silver's show was great. Dobie Gillis, fantastic. Doris Day show, despite having just these long segments of her walking down mostly, the runway.
Mostly a fashion show.
I enjoyed that one. Webster was pretty bad. Monty.
Bizarre. Casting Henry Winkler as an unlikable person. Very weird choice.
Yeah, and even Ozzy and Harriet has its charm.
For a 1950s sitcom, Ozzy and Harriet might be the second best.
Yeah.
Because it means like I Love Lucy, then Ozzy and Harriet, and then all the ones where Dad is always right.
Or Dad is always wrong, like Life of Riley. I will always go back to William Bendix and Life of Riley. Life of Riley.
And we can close it out. This portion.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Of the podcast with best performance of 2023. I will give this. I'm trying to get like really.
Fix
like
yourself.
I need to just hike my boobs up. Ugh. I'm wearing my big boobs right now.
Today's a big boob day.
Yeah, just because it's, you know, like I'm just trying to get because I want to give this to my drag forefathers, because I don't think I was actually in drag when we talked about the episodes, but must performance of 2023, T.C. Jones and Alfred Hitchcock Presents and Charles Ludlam in Oh, Madeline, two female impersonators who paved the way in times that were, I mean, I would say less open than now, but now's pretty scary. So,
pretty scary.
Good on them. Good on them for putting on women's clothes on television in front of everyone to see.
and that wasn't necessarily the whole gag like it would be with like Monty Python.
No, yeah.
Or like, Benny Hill.
Yeah, like they were both really good performances. I mean, the Alfred Hitchcock one plays onto the whole like she's actually a man. Oh no. Like terror, which is like problematic, very bad. But it was still like it was an interesting episode that people still talk about. That was so, you know, good for TC for getting that paper.
TC did a great job with that.
Yeah, and I really like Charles Ludlam.
But considering that like TC Jones did not do a lot of TV.
Yeah.
In general. He was a stage actor. He had Broadway shows. He did a lot of work.
Yeah, like I mostly perform in my home office. He mostly performed on the stage. It's the same thing. and then Charles Ludlam as a romance novelist. It was in a feud with Madeline's husband, who she had to pose for because he was embarrassed to admit he was a romance novelist.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe there's a better episode of Oh, Madeline. I don't know.
I still laughed at that.
There's a lot to
got some gags out of me.
I don't know. Maybe I just didn't get the premise of the whole Oh, Madeline show.
Oh no, yeah, it's basically Madeline Kahn it's basically the I Love Lucy premise, but I mean,
yeah,
very weird. Who is your best performance of 2023?
It should not be any surprise. It is of course John Saxon from Streets of San Francisco, because it's John Saxon. There is no time where you don't want to be watching John Saxon on TV.
Who died in my hometown, as we discovered.
Someone now is probably watching a TV show or movie somewhere in the world with John Saxon in it.
With his like rock hard skull face.
Skull face.
But ooh. like But still sexy. Would still hit it.
Oh, and his sexy hands. He started out as a hand model, and now he's
And that episode was about coin collecting. He was a bisexual coin collecting like criminal. With that Michael Douglas and
Carl Malden.
Carl Malden, but had to like track down in the streets of San Francisco.
But he was still John Saxoning all over San Francisco. He walked into the police station. And he's like, "Oh, I can totally help you with this case. I'm John Saxon." Everyone's like, "He's John Saxon. We have to trust him because he's John Saxon." And then like everyone else trusted him because they're like, "Oh, we can't. John Saxon can't be a bad guy." Spoiler: he's usually the bad guy.
Always.
He's rarely not the bad guy. Enter the Dragon. He wasn't the bad guy.
But, yeah.
Oh, John Saxon. So he was my number one choice, John Saxon.
And
even if we don't watch a John Saxon episode next year, he's probably still my answer.
I love that our best performances came from horror anthology, cop drama, and a 8-episode-long sitcom run. So, but hey, you know what? We're spotlighting things that y'all probably haven't watched.
Yeah. And hey, I'm not going to say that there weren't other great performances. There were tons of great performances on sitcoms.
I mean,
sitcoms
by default, we're getting nothing but good performances.
I would say that David Krumholtz on Monty as the youngest son on Monty.
Oh yeah, he was very good. Yes.
Great in that. Trying to think of the other stuff. Lucy's performance in the Isle of Lucy episode we watched. Excellent.
Always great.
Fred Mertz's suit in the same
Always
episode.
Always great.
Absolute wonderful. Fred Mertz, like William Frawley, not great in the episode. Great suit, though.
Always great. When I'm not dressed like this, I do dress a lot like Fred Mertz. So
Fred Mertz.
Pants one or the other, baby.
Pants up to the nipples, yeah.
As soon as I discovered wearing high-waisted pants, my life became a lot better. I'm just saying.
More like Mertz. That's the slogan.
More Mertz.
More like Mertz.
Now let's look ahead.
Ooh.
To our most anticipated just whatevers of 2024, starting with the most anticipated TV show of 2024, my two very specific choices are X-Men 97, obviously the continuation of the 90s cartoon that is coming to Disney Plus. I'm very excited because it is going to be very cool to be able to see the X-Men cartoon do what it did in the 90s during a time when that's how cartoons are made. Meaning, X-Men, as far as I know, is the first serialized cartoon season. As in, like, every episode of season one is part of a 13-episode whole. Episodes flowed into each one with continuing storyline. I'm sure anime definitely did this, but in terms of, like...
Yeah, yeah.
But like usually if you got G.I. Joe would do like a two-parter or a five-parter.
Yeah, a five-parter.
It wasn't every single episode, which caused a whole lot of animation problems because the overseas animation companies, like if an episode fell behind, that was episode three. So whoopsie, even though four and five are finished, it was a huge risk. They only did it for season one. For season two, they did episodic shows and had framing devices of Professor X and Magneto in the Savage Land.
Oh.
And so that is what connected every episode. But they mostly went episodic after that. But now, all of these animated shows are serialized. That's how they do them now. So it's going to be super cool to see an X-Men cartoon with, like, the muscle to actually do what they wanted to do 30 years ago. What's one of yours?
I had two, one that I had written down before and one that I'm just like, oh, duh, why didn't I remember this? The one that I wrote down before was HBO Max is doing the Penguin series.
Oh, yeah.
And if you serve me up virtually anything Batman, I'm going to be tuning in.
How long did you watch Gotham?
Every episode up until the end. I mean, I watched it every single week. I was into it. They filmed it. They filmed the first, some of the first episodes by my office. And I could point out one of the alleys that was shot in our building. Yeah, I remember walking past like the Catwoman's trailer. It was pretty cool. But the other one that I'd forgotten about was the new Doctor Who season with Judy Gatwa.
Oh, yeah.
I got to I saw the three specials with David Tennant. I saw the Christmas special with Judy. Looking forward to the new season coming to BBC and Disney Plus in May. They announced it, I want to say, like 3 or 4 days ago.
And Disney Plus, just gobbling everything up.
They need content. Everybody needs content. Just, I don't know. So I am looking forward to that. I really enjoyed what they did with the specials. I enjoyed the Christmas special a whole lot. Megan and I are going back and watching from the Christopher Eccleston seasons onward, yeah. which are, you know, they're quaint, they're fun. The CGI is abysmal.
I got to them farting aliens, and I was like, I'm going to watch Friday Night Lights.
That's like the third episode.
I made it through like halfway through Tenant's first season, and then I got distracted. The other TV show that I am excited for in 2024 is RuPaul's Drag Race Global All-Stars.
Ooh.
I'm not talking All-Stars. I'm not talking UK versus the world. For some reason, we're not having a third All-Star. But this is apparently hosted by RuPaul, I do believe. I mean, it's still a mystery, which is why I'm very excited about it.
Yeah.
But if the rumored cast is to be believed, it's going to be a lot of... It's basically one queen from every international franchise. So you got, like... I mean, I'm assuming they all speak English. I have no idea. Because they got, like, Philippines, Sweden, Brazil, Mexico. Like, it's America... It's going to be wild.
So there's a couple unknowns. The language is unknown. How are they going to do it?
It's going to be one of about 30 new seasons of Drag Race next year. Anyway, most anticipated movie of 2024.
This one was hard because I know that a lot of things that were supposed to come out are not coming out.
Removed, right? Like Kraven.
Yeah.
Like Kraven.
Or stuff. Yeah. It was definitely Kraven's
your choice.
No, it wasn't Kraven. I probably won't see Kraven. And it's not Madam Web, and it's not Venom 3, and
but
it's not...
her mother was bitten, or studying spiders or something.
It's a whole thing. There were two that looked interesting. I think the one that I definitely am saying, yes, I want to see this, is the sequel to Dune. More Dune.
Too fast.
Is that... I enjoyed the first Dune, original flavor Dune, more than I thought I would.
Hmm.
So I'm interested to see how they kind of like progress the story. The other one I'm kind of interested in is Argyle.
Oh God. Yes.
Yeah.
Instagram served me just like the poster. And I was like, all these people from Matthew Vaughn.
Yeah. Look absolutely at this cast. So yeah,
who is the cast? Why was I excited about this again?
It was, Henry Cavill's the big one. Sam Rockwell's in it. Catherine O'Hara.
Jason Statham? Catherine O'Hara, yeah.
Bryce Dallas Howard.
But it's like a murder mystery. It looks very Knives Out-y, which is very much my jam.
I think that from what I gather, it's a crime writer. It writes books about this fictional character. And then she discovers that everything that she's been writing has been coming true in the real world. And there is a spy. There is a spy organization, this criminal organization. I think it's Criminal Spies. And they want her to keep writing these books so they can keep doing what they're doing. Something like that. That's what I got from the trailer.
Perfect.
I'll see it at the Alamo. Hopefully the Alamo has it in Yonkers. But what movie did you like most in 2023 before we go into your 2024 movie?
Guardians of the Galaxy 3. I mean, I also didn't see many movies, but like the amount that I cried and the amount that movie reached into my soul and made me spit up feelings everywhere.
Made you weep.
No contest.
I would say mine was probably Barbie.
Yeah, and I like Barbie too. And I liked Oppenheimer. Those might be, those in the Marvels might be the only movies I saw in the theater this year.
Did you see Disturbance in the Force?
Yes. It was fun.
The documentary.
Holiday about special.
The Star Wars holiday special. I thought that was pretty good. But anyway.
My most anticipated movie of 2024, which again, I did not look at what's coming out. I just went off of just gut Deadpool 3, only because I don't give a fuck about Deadpool. I give a fuck about the X-Men and Marvel Studios doing the X-Men and Hugh Jackman finally, after 20 years, wearing a Wolverine costume. I'm very excited to see him wear the mask. And then all of the like set photo leaks look insane.
I've stopped looking at the set photo leaks. I don't absolutely want to be spoiled. Nuts.
All the stuff that is in there is like, this is preposterous, and I am very excited to see what happens.
Surprise me. I don't want the spoilers anymore. You could have Peter Sellers and Orson Welles and Bobby Driscoll in there, and I just want to see the film when it comes out. Mm-hmm. It's the only Marvel film that's non-Spider-Man coming out next year. So that's God. Yeah. They got a couple of series coming out, but a lot of their series moved to 2025 as well. Like I think Ironheart got moved,
which was supposed to come out this year. Yeah. A lot of stuff. Whatever.
What's your most anticipated book of 2024?
Mine?
Make your book a reality. Read. Make it happen.
I don't know what's coming out because I don't read. I buy books, but then I don't read them. But I do need to work on mine. Because every time that I start researching, I always discover something like super fun. The one day of research I've done during mental health leave, I found a quote from a soldier that did drag in World War II, and this is the army. And then I went on Ancestry, found his closest living relative, and then I got to interview them.
Ooh.
And like, you know, just I love that like stuff like that happens. And I love feeling like a little sleuth doing, you know, Ancestry sleuthing and whatnot. So
well, you posted that picture of Burl Ives in drag on your Instagram, which I was just like, that's Burl Ives in drag.
Yeah, he did it. That was part of his World War II service. What's your most anticipated book?
See, I have to be a nerd about it because like, In addition to being an advertising writer, in addition to being a pop culture podcaster, in addition to being a comic book collector, I'm also a multiple graduate student. I'm a graduate student in theology at St. John's University, and I've been really getting into a lot of that reading, religious studies kind of stuff. The non-canonical things, the weird stuff that didn't make the Bible or stuff that was written like a 500 years later that people tried to pass off as like it was really from the Bible and it was just left out. And there's a book coming out by Tom De Bruin called Fan Fiction and Early Christian Writings, which looks at these books that were non-canonical, not really scripture. And looks at them and it's like, look, this is the same thing that people are doing with Harry Potter and Supernatural. This is, you know, self-insert character. I'm Jesus's new best friend, that kind of stuff. So the plus side is it's coming out next year. The downside is it's really expensive. So my strategy is this year I went to the Society for Biblical Literature conference in San Antonio, had a blast, sat in tons of panels that talked about the very thing that I'm excited about, fan fiction. There was a fantastic presentation by Acacia Chan about fan fiction in a gospel that I'd never heard of before. And she goes through what is fan fiction, where did it start? Like that kind of stuff. And I'm just like, oh my God, it's so great. She's the one that turned me on to this book. So the thing that happens at these conventions is all the big academic publishers have booths just like Comic-Con.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And then they offer all of their books at like a 30 to 50% discount. And not only do they offer the books at that discount at the event, but if you go to their website afterwards and you were attended this conference, you have all the passwords and everything and the codes to get these after the convention. So that's what I'm going to, that's my goal.
Yeah.
Cheaper books, cheaper books, make academia accessible to everybody. I just totally nerded out on a book that I haven't read about something that probably interests a fraction of you listening, but thank you for humoring the old mad scholar.
Well, and then and on the same token, most anticipated comic of 2024, which I gotta read 2023's all of them.
Yeah.
But the return of the X-Men, I'm very much excited for.
Yeah.
If you don't know, the X-Men have been members of a sex/death cult on a living island for the past 3.5 years, and the notoriously dysfunctional X-Men who can't agree on anything somehow were like, well, we all totally agree with Professor X without our consent saving backups of all of our brains and memories on a hard drive, and he's been doing this forever, ha 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 ha, and we all agree with murdering children in a gladiatorial combat. We're all fine with this for some fucking reason.
You and I disagree on this because I've enjoyed those books more than I enjoyed the X-Men prior to this.
Well, I mean, the X-Men books have been bad for, I mean, not bad, but just they were the samey for about 15 years.
Yeah, they were.
Then they made them to the Inhumans and I lost interest. mainly, yeah, just all the characterizations all seemed completely bizarre, which to me is missing right storytelling thing of like, maybe Storm wouldn't be cool with any of this, and therefore isn't it an interesting storyline to have like Storm being like, I do not want a part of your weird murder death cult, I will be over here. Like, no, for some reason literally every single mutant on Earth agreed, all of them.
Yeah,
I would not want to live on Krakoa just because everything is made out of plants for some fucking reason. I don't want my plates to be made out of plants. I don't want my house to be made out of plants. I don't like plants. I'm allergic to a lot of plants.
I want everything to be made of plants. That means that we're not destroying the environment making plastics. Bricks made out of plants? Great! Make them out of plants!
You know, it was just a... For the X-Men, it strained my credibility or my belief. So I'm looking forward to seeing what happens under a new editorial team.
Yeah, Tom Brevoort is he the one? Yeah, he's coming out on
longtime Avengers, then longtime Fantastic Four, now X-Men.
For me, usually, you know, you ask me 9 times out of 10, I'm going to say something DC. And I'm looking forward to everything that's coming out from DC, like, love it. But the return of the Ultimate Universe in Marvel, I'm looking forward to that.
They're just relaunching it.
They did a
with all the continuity?
Series. No, with not the continuity. They're starting from scratch.
Thank Christ.
Peter Parker is back, married to Mary Jane, has a kid. We're navigating that.
It's a new universe that has a lot of continuity that we haven't seen.
I don't know.
Oh, God.
It hasn't launched yet.
You know what? It's fun. I'll read them digitally 3 months after they're published.
They've announced Spider-Man, Black Panther, X-Men, a fourth one? I don't know. They've announced those three at least. My memory not so good. It late in year.
And lastly, let's look forward to the podcast in 2024. Is there a classic TV show that you most want to cover in 2024?
There are a lot of those little niche shows that have been like, oh, wouldn't it be great? But the one that we've talked about so many times, because it touches on so much stuff that we haven't done, is Make Room for Daddy.
Oh, yeah.
And I always say the same thing, that I remember watching it as a kid and not finding it funny. But it's the show that launched Andy Griffith's show. It's the show that launched That Girl. It's the Danny Thomas,
yeah,
living life large with his family. So I don't know. I'm interested in doing one of those episodes. Doesn't have to be part of a theme month or anything like that. It's just going back to a show that I know that I've maligned on our podcast a couple times and just want to give it a fair shake.
Well, my answer this year is the same as my answer last year.
Oh,
I just forgot. I just forgot. Hogan's Heroes, baby.
Oh, Hogan's Heroes.
I held up the DVD box set, which I got a year ago, and I have watched half of season one. Here's a New Year's resolution for you. Actually watch the things that I get.
We can talk about the movie Autofocus that talks about his murder.
Yeah, man. Yeah, Hogan's Heroes is just a Pandora's box. The show itself. during World War II, where Nazis are basically the...
It's the, a prison the, camp the, yeah. show.
Yeah,
sorry,
you
Richard
know.
Dawkins. Not Richard,
Richard Dawson.
Doc Dawson.
I mean, hot men. I mean, Bob Crane, one of the sexiest men in all of television history. Richard Dawson, part of my gay awakening. Absolutely.
I bet if you look online, you can probably find pictures of Bob Crane's penis.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, boy.
I mean, I've seen it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, exactly. When he was having having sex with everyone who would say yes, he took pictures and videos, and it's all around. It's all online.
Oof.
I'm not going to look it up right now because this is my work.
It's Instagram content. other podcast. Podcast resolutions.
What's your podcast resolution, Barb?
I mean, we could do more episodes. 3 a month. I'm not making any promises.
We hit 2 per month. And I think that's pretty good, but we can try for more. Mine is, I'd like to try to get the episodes a little shorter.
Oh, wow. I could go for longer.
I mean, we can both go for longer, but I know that if you're looking through podcasts and you see one that's as long as some of these podcasts go that we do, it's a little challenging. I understand.
There's that Cerebro X-Men podcast where they release like 7-hour episodes.
Ooh.
About like Destiny. It's like, we have so-and-so on to talk about Sage for 8 hours. I mean, I haven't listened to it. I love the X-Men. That's too much.
The podcasts that I do listen to, I will listen to Retro WDW, which is a Disney history podcast. That does once a month, and it's about 2 hours.
Okay.
And then that works for me. Apocrypals, which is a religious podcast, biblical studies podcast, very funny. They do about what we do, which is about an hour 20, hour and a half. But a lot of the other ones I listen to are a little bit shorter, and I don't know. Let us know if the length of our episodes has been a barrier to you. Let us know in the comments.
I think if we move Must Have Now TV to a YouTube exclusive, that takes out 5-10 minutes. That's
or a Patreon exclusive.
Which is another resolution. If anyone would ever pay, if anyone would be up for paying for anything. And I'm just saying, if people paid for things, I would hire an editor, and we would absolutely have edited episodes again.
Yeah, I think that
would be good. So
that would be an interesting goal. Let's get a Patreon off the ground. We've talked about it, not on the show, but we've definitely talked about it, and that the money goes towards an editor to trim out some of the add a theme song, trim our work down a little bit,
because that would be. Nice. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
And I guess personal resolutions.
I want to be more present in my life. And it's a real thing. It's just be present in my relationships, be present in my work, be present with my family, and not just keep drifting off and saying, I'm going to read for a while, or I'm going to curl up and just ignore life for a while. That's one thing that I want to do for this year. That's a personal resolution, is be more present. But yours might differ.
Oh, my God. No, I wish I had actually... So my husband got me this Dolly Parton Behind the Seams, which is the history of all of her wardrobe. It's like,
okay,
just her like style and stuff. Oh, God. Oh, and I can't flip pages in a... because there was a quote in here that I looked at on Christmas morning when I was flipping through it. And it almost made me just start crying just out of nowhere, which Seb would have been like, why are you crying on the couch looking at a Dolly Parton book? And
that should be an understandable cry, though.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I am a gay man dressed as a woman, so obviously I cry about Dolly Parton. God damn it, it's a perfect quote. And it's in big bold, so if I could just...
You're looking through it right now.
If I can just find that big through, quote. Because it's been ringing in my head, along with... And I'm also wearing nails, which makes flipping very hard. I did not think ahead. You know what? It's fine. Okay, here it is.
Oh.
Oh, God. So, as Dolly says... when I turned 40, it was like a switch clicked on. I'd always known what I wanted, but now I knew what to do to get it.
Ooh.
So I turned 40 this year.
Turned 40 this year.
And I think that I will turn July. I think that a lot of the confidence in that quote of like, I've always known what I wanted, but now I know how to get it, is like, trusting my instincts. A lot of the time, I know exactly what I want to do, but I second guess myself, thinking like, well, how I think I need to do that probably isn't the way I need to, like, well, you know, a lot of second guessing, no trust. And I think I need to tell myself, no, I know what I need to do in order to get it. Like, send the emails, ask for help, take a leap. I mean, I'm look at me. I've done a lot of learning and growing in drag, so I would like to just, you know, keep doing that, and also giving myself permission to be happy is also a fun hard thing.
Give yourself a little bit of grace. I think that's something that's very lacking in just a lot of our lives, is that we don't give ourselves enough grace to make mistakes, to breathe. Definitely our work relationships don't give us enough grace to make mistakes and be ourselves and breathe. So when you have that opportunity, I just recommend that to everybody, is let yourself make mistakes, let yourself breathe, give yourself a little bit of extra space when you need it. And that's something I'm going to try to do this in 2024 and hopefully beyond, is to kind of give myself that. The grace is just the best word. It's the word my therapist used. And it's just like, yeah, all too often we don't give ourselves that space. Everything has to be right. Everything has to be perfect. We have to be performing all the time at our best. And just, we don't give ourselves enough chance to be like, fuck it. I'm allowed to mess up every now and then.
I deserve to be happy. I don't need to be hard on myself. Everything is fine. I don't need to be freaking out. Et cetera. So, fuck you, 2023.
Yeah, let's get this in the rear view. Yeah. We're recording this on the 30th of December, and tomorrow is going to be the last day of 2023. Let's wash our hands of it. Say goodbye. Sayonara. See you later. Arrivederci. And then we start over.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got a haircut. I'm going to get a haircut. How about that?
Oh, I need one of those too.
Yeah, I need one of those badly.
So, where can people find you if they want to congratulate you on another year?
Don't look for me on Blue Sky. I stopped using that. I'm just on Instagram.
Jesus.
Ethan K55 at Instagram, or whatever it is, Instagram. How about you, Barb?
I am still using Blue Sky almost exclusively
Because well, yeah.
And Instagram.
No, yeah, but just I look at Twitter every now and then, but I maybe tweeted like twice in the past month. I have bad associations. I don't need that. So Blue Sky is where I'm doing some stuff, but mostly Instagram. Follow me at Brett White. Follow me in Dragon at Barb Hardly, please. And also subscribe to Barb's YouTube channel, where I'm just posting all sorts of random stuff. And hey, I got a green screen, so I put myself on the Starship Enterprise and in Heart Mansion yesterday, so you can see that video.
I saw that. We encourage everyone to have a great 2024, a great end of 2023, and reach out to us. Email
musthaveseentv@gmail.com, and yeah, let us know what you want us to watch, because you know we'll do it.
Yeah, we've done it. We've done it before.
If it's stupid, we'll do it. Sorry.
And even if it's a little niche, like TV show,
we
like,
go niche.
Yeah, Quark lasted like 8 episodes.
Yeah,
Monty lasted less than that.
My podcast resolution: do TV shows that lasted less episodes than Quark and Monty.
Oh,
2, 3.
Let's forgotten, you know, barely a pilot. Kind yeah, of things. Oh. You're going to hate this podcast,
Generation
people.
Generation X, 1994 pilot. Do that.
That was a special.
It was a special that they tried to make backdoor pilot, despite my dreams, never happened. Anyway, well, we love all y'all. Bye.
Bye, everybody. Thanks to Acast for hosting.
Thanks, everything. I'm still missing a nail.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.